Welcome to the Lockdown Minnesota Twins podcast. I'm your host, Nash Walker. Today we highlight the evening deal that dropped last night for the Twins, as well as looking at the farm and just how much the Twins have coming, especially on the pitching side. Three arms to watch down there, maybe as early as 2020 for some of these guys. But first, Michael Pineda, the big headline. Last night, Michael Pineda was targeted and attained, an impact pitcher by the front office. They promised it. I think Big Mike fits into that description. And Michael Pineda has agreed to a two-year, $20 million contract with the Minnesota Twins. He's being pursued by the White Sox, Blue Jays, Rangers, Giants, and Braves, but chose to return to Minnesota. Guess he likes it in Minnesota. I mean, I don't blame the guy. I think this is a phenomenal deal for the team in the front office. I think that has been the consensus. They're savvy. Pineda is going to make about $7.6 million in his first year because of that 60-game suspension handed down this fall. So he has 39 games left to serve and should be good to go on May 10th against the Royals, pending rainouts or snowouts, anything along those lines. There was also a deal early this morning for the Twins, Alex Avila, and we're going to highlight that at the end of the show. But I want to break down this Pineda deal a little bit more. Pineda was the Twins' best starter in the second half, and I think he was in line to start one of the first three games against the Yankees. I still think Baldelli and crew would have chosen Jose Berríos for game one, and Pineda probably in two, Jake Odorizzi in three. But either way, he was slated to start a playoff game. Pineda found success last year primarily with a two-pitch mix. He had a four-seam fastball and an absolutely disgusting slider. He threw his slider 32% of the time last year and generated a 36% whiff rate, which is tremendous. This slider really pops. The expected opponent batting average against his slider was just 202. The expected wOBA, which you can kind of look at as on-base percentage, weighted on-base average, was 293, and the expected slugging percentage was 318 in 2019 on that slider. So that's an expected 611 OPS from hitters against Pineda's slider. That's an elite pitch. I think that qualifies as an elite pitch, and that's awesome. I think this contract is a steal. I don't think there's any way around that. I was a proponent of extending the qualifying offer to Pineda, but the Twins were smart to get him at a much better average annual value on this two-year deal. I think the qualifying offer would have been at like $13.6 million prorated, but now they get him for 2 years at about $17.6 million, which I think is a great deal. Pineda gets paid. The Twins got their second impact pitcher in addition to Jake Odorizzi, and this deal gets an A-plus from me. Pineda has extremely similar numbers to both Zach Wheeler and Madison Bumgarner. Again, Tom Frohman, Twins Daily, made a video today comparing Bumgarner, Wheeler, and Pineda from last year, and you will find that they have very similar metrics, very similar numbers. Pineda strikes out a similar amount of batters. He's elite at preventing walks, and he's just a solid, consistent pitcher who can occasionally give you seven-inning gems. Pineda has a better ERA plus over the last two seasons than Odorizzi, Wheeler, and Bumgarner. It actually goes in that order. Pineda splits. No, I think it is. Excuse me. I think it's Pineda, Odorizzi, Bumgarner, Wheeler for ERA plus combined over the last two seasons. And you definitely heard when looking at Wheeler that his ERA plus is right around league average last year. But Pineda's splits were funky too. He allowed a higher OPS to right-handed hitters, but his career numbers suggest they're probably a little bit closer together. This contract for the Twins is so great. I mean, they have no commitment beyond 2021 with Odorizzi or Pineda, and both prove they can help the team win in 2019. And I think the window's open, and I know they've made this clear that they want to keep the window open as long as possible. And with the likes of Joan Duran, Jordan Blazevic, and of course Brustar Graterol quickly approaching, or Balazovic, excuse me, I always mess that one up. The Twins have flexibility in opening spots for them in the rotation now. I also think the Twins may be looking to keep the books relatively clean to extend Jose Berríos, Byron Buxton, or perhaps even Miguel Sano. All three of them are definitely extension candidates this offseason. I think the Twins like what they have a lot in this short-term, very team-friendly deal for Pineda, and Jake Odorizzi shows they still are hesitant to commit big-time years to any player, especially pitchers, which I understand. I believe they remain in on Madison Bumgarner, and getting him and Pineda qualifies as a great offseason for me. I think anything beyond that is a bonus. Getting Odorizzi, Pineda, and Bumgarner, that's impact pitching for me. Pineda and Odorizzi is a really good metaphor or a comparison on Gleeman and the Geek this morning. Great podcast. Go check that out. John Bonus, Aaron Gleeman made a comparison to getting runners on first and third with Pineda and Odorizzi, and all you got to do is hit the 3-run homer. I think they were talking about Madison Bumgarner, he and Jinryu, one of the two. This team won 101 games. They have so much momentum. They have young talent on the way. They have barely any commitments in the payroll books. I'm excited, and you should be too. Michael Pineda back to the Twins is the headline of the day, and I think it was a great move for the Twins and for everyone involved, especially Pineda, too, getting paid. And I do want to talk about Alex Avila a little bit. So Jeff Passan dropped a report this morning that Alex Avila and the Twins have agreed to a deal. It is worth, I believe, $4.25 million for Avila. I also think that's a really good deal for the Twins. Very similar numbers to Jason Castro. As far as platooning goes, Avila hits righties much better as he's a left-handed bat. Mitch Garver, we know, destroys left-handed pitching. I think his OPS was above 1,000 last year against left-handed pitching, maybe 1,100 even. So I think it's a good platoon opportunity for both of them. I think Avila will complement Garver nicely. He's a veteran bat. He's a veteran guy in the clubhouse, and I think he was a good pickup. I do think Mitch Garver is going to catch closer to 110, 120 games next year for the Twins after I think he caught 90, close to 90 this year. I think he played in 92 games. I think he caught like 85 to 90 last year. So I think you see Mitch Garver catch more like 120, 130 games. I think you could see him, Rocco Baldelli and crew trying to get him to start maybe the opening game of a series. And then getting him on game 3 or game 4 when last year, they really kind of just rolled with it. I mean, Castro would start the opening game of a series, and maybe he'd go back-to-back, and they did a good job platooning, make sure Garver was in there against all lefties, and I think you're going to see that again. But I think he does start more games overall. And, you know, it's not like Garver is helpless against righties. I mean, he was a beast last year in any way you cut it, and I think, you know, if he does start more games, I think you're going to see his numbers come down back to earth a little bit more. But this season was otherworldly for the catcher. And 273, 365, 630 was his line last year overall. It's a 995 OPS. As a catcher, that is outstanding. I mean, for a regular position player, for a first baseman, that's outstanding. But to have that kind of production out of your catcher is something else. Against right-handed pitching, Garver, 249, 326, 576, that's a 902 OPS. So, I mean, still slugs the lights out against righties, but against lefties, 321, 434, 736 slugging percentage, that's a 1,170 OPS. So, yes, it is over 1,100. Well over 1,100, almost at 1,200 on that OPS. He had 12 homers in 106 at-bats against left-handed pitching, which is outstanding. 19 homers in 205 at-bats against right-handed pitching. Obviously, they love Mitch Garver. Mitch Garver is a huge part of this team moving forward, and I think Alex Avila gives them an opportunity to platoon him and even give him more looks because I don't think Avila is going to play as much as Castro did last year. I think Castro's looking for a starting gig, and I think he's going to get it somewhere, probably looking for a 2-3-year deal. The Marlins stick out, just teams that are not as much as in contention, but he's obviously a great defender and was an asset to the team last year, so I definitely think he's going to get paid somewhere else, just not going to be in Minnesota. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Twins prospects coming up. Three arms that could impact the team in 2020. My three favorite arms. You're listening to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Away creates thoughtful products designed to change how you see the world. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/lockedon and use promo code locked on during checkout. Listening on the go, if you can't visit Away right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Welcome back to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. We highlighted the brand new, shiny, two-year, $20 million contract for Michael Pineda. Again, that first year is reduced to $7.6 million because of the remaining 39 games on the suspension. I do think it's important. I like to focus on my initial... I trust my gut. I like to focus on my gut when these things happen. And I did with the Zach Wheeler contract when I was just relieved that he wasn't going to the White Sox, and that I think that feeling was valid, as are all my feelings. But my feeling with this Michael Pineda contract was I was excited too. I think it's a great, great deal for Michael Pineda. I think it's a great deal for the Minnesota Twins. And yes, I do think it's a plus too that he gets that first month off and to get his innings under control coming off the meniscus surgery and definitely off the Tommy John from a few years back. But yeah, that first year is reduced to $7.6 million because of the 39 games and the suspension. And this deal is really 2 years for $17.6 million again, which makes it even better for the Twins. Pineda is making the same amount in 2020 as CJ Cron was projected to make before being non-tendered. Pineda had a 2.7 war, according to Fangraphs, in 2019 compared to a 0.3 war for Cron. No disrespect to CJ Cron. I just want to highlight how great of a deal this was for the Twins, how much value you're getting. I give Derek Falvey and Thad Levine an A-plus for the Pineda deal. I think, you know, they haven't made that smoking hot five-year contract yet, but what they have done is gotten really good value. And Nelson Cruz was a top-five value play last year in free agency. I think it was LeMahieu was first. I think it was like Corbin second, or position players, it might have been Cruz second. But Cruz was, I believe, top three, actually, for value plays last year as far as dollars per war that he provided to the team. So I think they've gotten a lot of good value. I think this is, you're going to find more value in this Pineda deal. And they've gotten good value out of their trades, too. I would also give them an A-plus for not trading many prospects at the deadline when fans were calling for them to move the farm for starting pitching. I'll tell you why. This farm system, despite Royce Lewis and Alex Kirilloff taking relative steps back in 2019, is very, very strong. And, of course, we know the outfielders are very strong, but I want to highlight three arms that are also very good and that I think have the chance to become the 2020 version of Luis Arraez on the mound. First, I think Brustar Graterol is going to be a star. This is not a homer pick. We saw the cheddar he throws from the bullpen, but he has the stuff to be a frontline starter. He should get an opportunity in 2020 to start important games for the Twins. I see him coming up and starting big games for the Twins. I don't think he's going to start the year on the 26-man roster. I think he starts in Rochester, gets a ton of starts under his belt, and then comes up and gets an opportunity, of course, pending injuries or anything along those lines. Graterol turned 21 last week. He throws up to 103 miles per hour. There's a great clip of a sinker Graterol threw against the Indians last year that was just disgusting. I mean, he's got a great slider. He has insane upside. I think you're going to see some more of it in 2020 for Brustar Graterol. I think if Brustar Graterol was a prospect in the Boston Red Sox, New York Yankees, Chicago Cubs, Los Angeles Dodgers system, you'd hear a lot more about him. That's just the reality of it. But the good news is that he's under the radar and he's going to take the league by storm. Brustar Graterol, keep an eye on him. We already saw him in the majors as a 20-year-old, and I think you're going to see more of him in 2020. Another pitcher that could make an impact for the team in 2020 is Joan Duran. Duran is a 6'5", 230-pound hurler from the Dominican Republic. I'm really, really excited about Joan Duran. He was acquired from the Diamondbacks at the 2018 deadline for Eduardo Escobar. He's entering his age 22 season, was recently added to the 40-man roster. Here's why I'm excited about Joan Duran. Not only is just his pure size, and I think he just brings a lot to the table, is that he struck out 136 batters in 115 innings in 2019, and he allowed just 7 home runs in 22 starts between High A Fort Myers and Double A Pensacola. Those are the two biggest things I look at when I'm evaluating these prospects or even a pitcher, is how many strikeouts, how many homers, because I think that's such a big thing these days, of course, with the environment too. But Duran throws 94 to 96 miles per hour with his fastball. He can touch 98 with it, according to MLB Pipeline. Duran has a high ceiling too, maybe not as high as Graterol with that 103 mile per hour gas, because I think Graterol can be a potential Cy Young candidate. I mean, it's easy to dream on prospects, of course, but I really think Graterol has an insane ceiling up to the sky. But Duran also has at least a fourth or fifth starter floor, in my opinion, as well. Finally, I think Chris Valamont is very enticing. Valamont came over from the Marlins along with Sergio Romo, and we heard this guy is not a toss-in. I was watching a Sane Ball episode, Brandon Warren of Zone Coverage mentioned Valamont, and I kind of jumped on the train too. I wasn't sure if I believed it at the deadline, but he definitely is something. He's not nothing. I thought he was a toss-in, or I assumed he was a toss-in with the Sergio Romo deal for at the deadline. I was trying to remember. It wasn't Jalen Davis. I forgot who they moved for Sergio Romo. It'll come back to me. But he pitched 58 and a third innings, Valamont, at High A between Miami and Minnesota last year, and he struck out 70 while walking just 15. I think Valamont will start his age 23 season at Double A Pensacola, but he could be on the fast track up. He had a 3.55 ERA at High A, and I think he has a lot of upside. I'm really, really excited about Chris Valamont. I think there's just a lot of upside in the farm system I think you're going to see that, and you're going to see a lot of arms that are going to impress you because you don't hear a lot about it. And I really think that Chris Valamont could be one of those guys. So Valamont's my number three. I have Gratterol, Brustar Gratterol, of course, the top pitcher in the system. I did not mention Jordan Bialozovic because I still think he's a couple years away, but there's plenty of reason to be excited about him. And I also mentioned Joan Duran. I mentioned Chris Valamont third. I think you could definitely have plenty of guys that could impact 2020. These are just the three that I'm watching that I think have upside. Dakota Chalmers, another name that comes to mind. And this is in no way, shape, or form me trying to make excuses to not sign a top-level pitcher by any means. Madison Bumgarner, I would love to have. I made that very clear yesterday. I would like to have Hyun-Jin Ryu. I would like to have Dallas Keuchel on the Minnesota Twins. I think he would help too. I think there's a lot of arms coming up, and I think they should hesitate a little bit more than people think to give these long-term deals, because you're going to want to lock these guys up and you want to keep your books clean. I think they've prioritized that to a certain extent. And I don't blame them for that, because I think they love what they have. And I like it, too. I don't want to lose Byron Buxton. I don't want to lose Miguel Sano. I mean, I don't want to lose Jose Barrios. And the only way that you can keep them is if you keep your books clear for the upcoming years, and you don't handcuff yourself, into not being able to give these guys long-term deals. And I think that's the goal. I mean, you breed these young prospects, but you don't want to let them go as soon as they start. I mean, Byron Buxton, he's getting to the point where he's entering his prime. We saw what he can do last year. You don't want to let him go in 2 years. I mean, I don't think you do. I think you want to hold him for as long as you can, but of course you have to pay up to do that. Jose Barrios, I think, is going to take another step forward. I think he's going to keep moving up. I think he's going to be Cy Young caliber next year and into the next couple of years. Of course, his struggles in August and September are duly noted. I understand that, and I think he's gonna work to fix that, of course, and I think he has the stuff to be a true ace. Still, Jose Barrios is only 26 years old. So I think you're going to want to lock these guys up. And again, in order to do that, you got to keep the books clean. And I think they should hesitate a little bit more, given these big long-term contracts to pitchers. And they don't have any at this point. So if they don't sign Madison Bumgarner, I would be disappointed, but I would not picket fence Jim Polad's house for not signing Bumgarner or Hyun-Jin Ryu. I just think it's more of a risky move, kind of depending on these kids, but I think you're also opening up the payroll books to extend the guys that you've bred to make an impact. Thank you for listening. We highlighted the wonderful Michael Pineda 2-year $20 million deal with the Twins. I gave three pitching names to watch in 2020 that could make an impact on the big league roster. And we highlighted the Alex Avila deal a little bit more. I think Avila started like 50 games catching last year. I think you're going to see a similar number this year, maybe 55, 60. Astudillo might get 5, 10, 15 starts depending on injuries. And I think Mitch Garver is going to be closer to 120, 130 starts at catcher this year. You might see him at first base a couple times, depending on what they do. But the Twins filled two holes in 12 hours. So last night, you think at the end of the day, hot stove's done. You turn off the stove for the day. But no, last night we get the news at 7:30 from Fox 9. His name was Pierre, I believe. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. But Pierre gave us the news at 9 o'clock, or like 7:38, right when the Cowboys-Bears game was kicking off. I believe that Michael Pineda was, in fact, coming back to the Minnesota Twins. And then early this morning, at this time of the year, I'll wake up early in the morning, not because I want to. I'll just wake up and I'll look at my phone to see if anyone signed, because it happens. And I read that the Minnesota Twins have signed someone, and his name is Alex Avila. So in the last 12 hours, they've filled their backup catcher role. They've filled one of their starting rotation spots. And I think they have three playoff caliber starters already in the rotation. But if you want to get an A+, go get Madison Bumgarner, go get Hyun-Jin Ryu, one of the two, or trade for an equal arm. I'm very skeptical about the trade part, because I think I'm really excited about what they have in the farm. And I don't think you want to give any of that up if you don't have to, and because the payroll books are so clean, you have money to spend. But you've been listening to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. We'll be back on Monday. Go Twins. Have a great day. Maybe by then, Madison Bumgarner will be a Minnesota Twin. Maybe sounds really romantic and really wonderful. Hopefully he can stay healthy if that's the case. Thanks for listening.